Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. And may our learning serve as a merit. Le'ili Nishmas. Me'ira Chai and Nechama Bracha Leah Shalom Bas David Mordechai. Today's daf is Daf Vav in Maseches Nida. We're still dealing with this topic of a woman who checks herself and finds blood. So rabbinically, there is now a tumma retroactively. There is an impurity that is imposed retroactively. And the question is, how far back retroactively does that impurity go? Do we say that it's imposed for the last 24 hours, imposed on everything that she's touched or dealt with since the last time she checked herself and then she was certainly clean? Or maybe dayashata, maybe there is no tumma retroactively, just the tumma from here going forward. So let's start again on Heywood Bays with the word gufa. We learned before, it's about a third of the way up. Gufa, we learned before, Amar Ze'iri said, Me'esli Isha Benita, the 24 hours of retroactive impurity imposed on a nida. Osa mishkav umoshav letame adam letame begadim is so strong that we look back at what happened in the last 24 hours. If in the last 24 hours she was sitting on a chair or she was laying on a bed, we say that we treat that bed rabbinically like a medras, like an avatzoma, so that if a person touched that bed without that bed first becoming tahor by going to the mikvah, the person becomes so impure that even the garments that are on him become impure from him. Aini, is that so? Ivak Yasa Avimi Bechuzai. When Avimi came from Bechuzai, Asav Aisi must need to be yada. He came and brought a brice in his hand, which said the following. Me'es Leisha Benida, the 24 hours of retroactive impurity imposed on a woman who finds herself to be a Nida. Mishkavo Moshava Kimaga'a. Her seat or her bed are like the things she touches. So my love, doesn't it mean that the seat that she sat on or the bed that she laid on is like an object that she touched? Mama go along with Tommy Adam, if she touches an object, that object is now not going to be able to make a person impure to the point that his clothing is impure. Af mishkav alom etami adam. So too, the bed that she sat on or slept on is not so impure to be able to make the person who touches it impure, to impurify, to make impure his clothing that he's wearing. So Amar Rava, said, is that the way to read the brice of a tisbra? Can you think that? Kal v'chomer hu, but it's logic. What's the logic? Umakli cheres amuk of tzmid pasul. If you have an earthenware vessel surrounded with a tight cover, hanitzel ba'olam meis, if it's in the same tent as a dead body, we know that that earthenware vessel is pure. What's in the earthenware vessel is pure. It's saved from tumas ohel. Nevertheless, eino nitzel b'meis leisha benita. If a woman finds herself to be a nida, so we impose an impurity retroactively on for the last 24 hours. The last 24 hours, the earthenware vessels that she has moved, we say are impure, because we say it's considered hesed. It's the moving of an earthenware vessel, which makes it impure, even when it's covered with a tight cover. So therefore, Mishkavos u'moshavos. When you talk about beds and chairs, if they would have been in the same room, in the same roof, under the same roof as a dead body, certainly they become impure. So therefore, eino din. So certainly it should be logic. Then in the 24 hours of retroactive impurity imposed on a nida, it should apply also to the beds and the chairs. So the Gemara says, okay, Rava, that's nice. You have this kal v'chomer that the beds and the chairs become an avatuma based on the last 24 hours of, in the retroactive tuma. One second, va'avim be'chuzai mas nisakamer. But Avimi had a brisa. The brisa seems to say explicitly that the bed and the chair is not an avatumah. The bed and the chair is a rishon latumah, right? Because it's considered like something that the nida touched. So no, the Gemara says, you misread the brisa. Ema, read the brisa like this. Mishkava moshava, her bed or her chair, kimaga atzma, is as bad as touching her herself. So just like she's an avatumah, her bed and chair that she used in the last 24 hours have the status of an avatsuma. Ma magatsma, just like touching her herself, is touching an avatsuma, which would be mitame adam latame begadam, would make the person touching her tame, that even the clothing on him is tame. Afnishkava moshava, so to her bed and chair, mitame adam latame begadim. In the last 24 hours, once we find that she's a nida, so now in the last 24 hours, we say the things that she sat on, the things that she laid on, they have the status of a medris, they are an avatsuma, that if a person touches them, not only does he become impure, but even the clothing on him becomes impure. Tanya kavasa derev. We have a brisa now which supports this. The brisa says, haro adam, if a person, a woman finds that she's seeing blood, now matam eis leis. Now we say the last 24 hours, whatever she handled, became tame. Umahi matama, what does she make tame? Mishkavos umoshavos. Her beds or her chairs. Ochlin umashkin, food or drink. Even an earthenware vessel which is covered with a tight cover. Mm-hmm. However, when we say that the tumah goes for the last 24 hours, that's not in regards to counting, right? We know a nida has to count 7 days, and on the seventh day she goes to the mikvah, and then at night she becomes patar. Remember, we're going to see this a lot in the Masechta. There's really two different types of tumah. There is the tumah of nida and the tumah of zava. So when a woman, let's say the most simple way to understand it, a woman the very first time she has her period, that blood is nida blood. So 7 days after that, after the beginning of that bleeding, she checks herself to make sure she's no longer bleeding, called the hefsek tahara. She goes to the mikvah, and that night she is pure. A zava is during... after she became pure from being a nida, she now enters into a period of 11 days. During these 11 days of the month, if she sees blood once, so if she sees blood on one day, then she needs to wait 24 hours and then go to the mikvah. If she sees blood 3 days in a row, then she's a zava gadola. Once she's a zava gadola, she needs 7 clean days. After 7 clean days, 7 days of checking herself twice a day, making sure she's clean, then she goes to the mikvah, and then she becomes tohar. So, in regards to a nida, once the blood came, she needs to wait 7 days and then go to the mikvah. Now, we said the blood came, we said now we go back 24 hours. So, do we count 7 days from 24 hours ago, or do we count 7 days from now? Says the Gemara, no, this law of counting the last 24 hours, that's only a rabbinic imposition of a rabbinic impurity about the last 24 hours, based on sfeikos, I'm not sure. But in terms of counting, to enable her to go to the mikvah, no, that she has to count from now. Again, so the last 24 hours doesn't ruin her count. And number two, now if she became impure now, because she had a flow of blood, we're saying now all the things that she touched in the last 24 hours are suffik tameh, we're going to treat the bed she sat on in the last 24 hours as an avatoma. What about the husband that she had had intercourse with in the last 24 hours? Is he now tameh? No. We don't say that he is tameh, they only imposed this impurity on her, they didn't impose it on the husband who may have had intercourse with her in the last 24 hours. That's the view of the Tanakhama. Continues the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mitamez Bo'ala. When we impose the impurity for the last 24 hours, it also means that if she had had intercourse in the last 24 hours, her husband is now also impure. But Rabbi Akiva agrees. Ve'ena Mona. She's not going to count starting from 24 hours ago. Elamisha Shiras. She only starts counting from when she saw the blood now. Next, Haroa Kesem. Let's say a woman doesn't have a sighting of blood, she has a sighting of a stain. She looks at her garment, and on her garment there is a stain. So where did the blood come from? Probably came from her. So this is blood that came without a hargasha. So here too, Metamel Mafreya, we say that the garment is Tamei, not just now, but it was Tamei retroactively, all the way back to the last time the garment was cleaned.
He's guilty of having intercourse.
No, certainly not guilty of a sin, but he's tame. He's impure. If he touched taros after the intercourse, you have to put those taros aside. It's a safek tame. Certainly not. Certainly not. Now, haroa kesem. We are in vav amud aleph. A woman who sees a stain. So if she sees a stain, also metamel mafreya. There is an impurity imposed on her, and it creates tumah retroactively. There's tuma now, retroactively, because she saw the stain. Umahi mitama. What does she make impure? And we look back. Ochlin, the food that she touched. Umashkin, the drinks that she touched. Mishkavos, the beds that she laid on. Umoshavos, the seats that she sat on. And even klecheres hamukaf, tzmid pasal, even earthenware vessels that are covered with a tight cover, we say are now tame. We say that they were musat, they were moved by the nida. Umekulkeles liminyana. Now, if she has a stain, this does ruin her count. Because if there is a stain, it's not like a roa. It's not like a woman who saw blood. If she saw blood, we know that the blood came now. Now, maybe it was before, but you know it came now. I mean, we saw it in front of us, something happening. But if there's a stain, we really don't know when the stain happened. Could have happened yesterday, right? The stain happened without a hargasha. Now you see it, but it certainly could have been from before. So here, the count is all messed up. We don't know if she saw it, let's say, 2 days ago when she was in her Zava days. So if it came out during the Zava days, really it should only be 1 day of Tumah and then going to the mikvah. Or maybe it came out now in her Nida days and she needs 7 days. So we don't know. So therefore, she has to treat it as the most strict possible. You know, just wait 7 days and then go to the mikvah. Umatama is Boala. And if there is a stain, we say retroactively, the person who had intercourse with her also becomes Tame. Veinamona, now in terms of counting, to be able to go to the mikvah, she has to count 7 days like a nida, which is stricter than a zava, would only have 1 day. And Elamisha Sharasa, she only counts from the time that she saw this stain. Vizevizen, now both a woman who had a sighting of blood and a woman who has a stain. When we talk about the retroactive impurity, it doesn't mean that it's fully impure, that we're going to burn things. Tolin, we say that the things that she touched are in a state of doubt. They're suspended. Lo Ochlin, if she touched something of Truma, you can't eat it. Lo Sorfin, but neither would you burn it either. So here you have a Brisa. This Brisa is a full support for Rava. Right? The Brisa is very clear. The Brisa says, Haroa Dam, if a woman sees blood, or a Kesem, it says there's an impurity imposed on her for the last 24 hours before she found these things. And the impurity applies to food, drink, beds, and chairs. So it says explicitly it applies to beds and chairs. So the Gemara now says, 1 second, Virava. Now Rava, Ishmiele Masnisa, if Rava had known this Brisa, Lema Masnisa, why did he have to quote a Kal Vachomer? Why did he say, well, if the woman who's a Nida in the retroactive impurity makes the earthenware vessels with a tight cover impure, even though those things don't become impure when they're in the same room as a dead body, so certainly she makes beds and chairs impure because those things become impure when they're in the same room as the dead body. Why do you have to say a Kal Vachomer about Oel HaMeis? Just say the Brisa. V'loshmilei Masnisa, if he didn't know this Brisa, then Kal Vachomer Minali. How did he even know that a woman who's a Nida now becomes so impure retroactively that she could even make impure those utensils that are covered with a tight cover? The answer is Oel HaMeis Masnisa. He must have known this Brisa. And now why didn't he just quote the Brisa? I'll tell you. Im Masnisa, if he would have quoted the Brisa, Hava Amina would have thought to say when the Brisa says that the chair and the bed of the woman who's a Nida have become impure. It doesn't mean that they've become so impure that a person who touches them becomes so impure that even his garments on him are impure. I would think what it means is the bed becomes impure, that, oh, Adam, that if a person touches the bed, the person becomes impure. Oh, Begadim, or if utensils touch the bed, the utensils become impure. Aval Adam, Ubegadim, lo, but that the bed became an Avatoma, not a Rishon Letoma. That the bed became an avatoma, that if a person touches it, he becomes impure, and the garments on him are also impure. That not, Shemachi Ka'amar Kal Vachomer, for that's why he needed a Kal Vachomer.
It seems that the Nida is more Chumra than even Tumat Met.
More Chumra? Why do you say more Chumra?
Tumat Met, if we touch the ceramic outside, it's not
touching, it's his hesed, it's his moving it. It's like moving the Anita who moves the earthenware vessel, it has a tight cover, so that's hesed, that's the moving of something. When a zav makes something move, he propels things into motion, that imposes the tumah. All right, so that completes the discussion of Ze'iri. Again, we learned the beginning this morning, Ze'iri's idea that Rava also confirms, and that is that this rabbinic impurity that we've been discussing for the last five dapim, that when a woman finds that she's a nida, that the rabbis have imposed an impurity on whatever she's dealt with in the last 24 hours or whatever she's dealt with since the last check, this rabbinic impurity is very, very strong. It's so strong, it's that there will be a rabbinic impurity of medris hazav, medris hanida, on the bed or chair that she sat on or laid on. Okay, so now we get to a very important point in a certain way that we should have had this point at the beginning of the Masechta, because this is really very essential. This is all rabbinic law, right? It's not that biblically she's impure in the past. We didn't even know that she had any blood in the past. This is all a suffix, maybe, chumrah. It's all rabbinic law. So did they impose this rabbinic law on everything? Or maybe they only imposed it in things that they want to be very strict with, like a karban. Maybe they didn't even impose it on truma. So we're going to see now there are two opinions. They certainly did not impose it on chulin. It was never imposed on regular stuff. This law is an impurity in regards to maybe kachim. And maybe it's an impurity in regards to kachim and to truma. So it's a very basic point. We only got to it on here on Davav. Says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, very basic idea. Meis leisha benita, the 24 hours going back with Anita, that we say that she's impure. Lekodesh, that only applies to karbanos. It only applies to dealings with karbanos. If she touched a karban in the last 24 hours, now she finds that she's Anita. So we say, okay, we can't eat that karban. Avalola truma, but it wouldn't even apply to truma, even though truma is holy food, only Kohanim can eat it, and they have to eat it in a state of purity. The Torah says you have to watch the truma, mishmeres truma si. Nevertheless, this rabbinic impurity was never imposed on truma. If you remember, this takes us back to Maseches Chagiga, the third chapter of Maseches Chagiga, had all sorts of differences between Kodesh and Truma in regards to the laws of purity and impurity. So we're saying this is another one of these differences, that the Nida has an impurity retroactively for the last 24 hours is in regards to Karbanos, but not in regards to Truma. What's that?
No recollection
of Maseches Chagiga, the third chapter. Chomer b'Kodesh mi'b'Truma. Kodesh is more strict than Truma.
And also, in relation to her, with her husband.
Right. We're getting ready. We're excited for the restart. So the Gemara now asks this question. Iyachi, if Rav Huna is right, listeni, why isn't this impurity listed as one of those things in Maseches Chagiga? Listeni gabi milos. List it, right? Teach it in regards to the advantages. The mission there says there's certain stringencies more in karbanos than there are in truma. So list this one as, you know, needs of going back 24 hours applies to kodesh but not to truma. So my answer is no. Ki katani, what things are listed there in Chagiga? Hecha de isle drara de tuma. When there is some foundation, right, some reason to think that there's tuma, there's some aspect of tuma, so it's imposed in kodesh and not in truma. But where there's no, you know, foundation of tumah, there's really no suffix here, then not. In other words, the Gemara is saying, this is the way the Ritva explains this Gemara, the reason why the rabbis imposed the 24 hours of tumah for Anida is a chumrah, it's a knas, it's a punishment. She should have been checking herself twice a day. How did she go for 3 days without checking herself? Well, to punish her for going 3 days without checking herself, now that she checks herself, they say, okay, now 24 hours, she's tummy. So it's really a punishment. It's not that there's a real fear here, oh, maybe the blood was here before. It's to punish her for what she did, that she's not listening to the rules. So if that's the case, it's not listed there in Maseches Chagiga. Maseches Chagiga is not to list punishments. Maseches Chagiga's point is, there are certain things that we're worried about tumah. So in Kodesh, we're worried about it. In Shuma, not. Here, we're not really worried. So therefore, it's not listed. All right, so now the Gemara is going to challenge this point. Is Rav Huna right that this law, that the retroactive impurity imposed for the last 24 hours, is he right that it only applies to karbanos, to kodesh, and it doesn't apply to Teruma. Meisve, they challenged this in the yeshiva. The price that we've been discussing all morning. Mahi Mitzama, what does a woman make impure in the last 24 hours? Ochlin, the foods that she touched. Umashkin, and the drinks that she touched. My love, doesn't that mean Bein de Kodesh, Bein de Chuma, whether these are drinks and food of Karbanos or of Chuma? Says the Gemara, lo, that's not what it means. The Kodesh, it's only the drinks and food of Karbanos. Tashma Karnir proof, we learned another Brisa. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Rebbe Yehuda says, Af b'shas af rasa milecha b'tshuma, even at the time that a woman leaves her eating of tshuma. So, that's pretty explicit. That when she leaves her eating of tshuma, when women leave their eating of tshuma, they need to check themselves to make sure that they're not anida. Avinabas. So yes, why are they checking themselves? My dahava hava, whatever was. Amar Rav Chisda said, right, check before, right? Why is he checking after she ate? Lo nitzucha, the reason why she's checking is el latak and shirayim sheb b'fanel. To fix the leftovers that are here, right? That if she had left over some food and she hadn't eaten it, but she had touched it while she ate it, she needs to check herself to make sure that food is still tzar. So, one second. It's truma. I thought that there is no retroactive impurity on truma. Answer the Gemara. Rav Huna Masni. Rav Huna explains what Rav Yehuda meant was she needs to check herself after she ate the truma, so that if there's a little bit of truma left and it turns out that she's tamei, lisaref shirayim, to burn the leftovers, shebiyadeha, that are still in her hand. What do you mean that truma is still in her hand? She checked herself right away. She checked herself right away after touching it. As if she checked herself right away after touching it, so then she's certainly tamei even in regards to truma. When we said that the 24 hours only applies to kodesh, yeah, things that she touched, you know, a couple minutes ago. But if she touched something right now and right away she checks, and she finds blood, so that means that the blood was here right now. So if the blood is here right now, certainly she has to destroy that truma. Tashma, again, Rav Huna was machadish. Rav Huna said that this law of the 24 hours of impurity retroactively only applies to karbanos, it doesn't apply to truma. We've asked two questions against Rav Huna, now we're up to question number three. Tashma, coming here from a Braisa. The Braisa says a story. Masa, there was a story with a woman who had gone through 30 days without seeing blood. So she went through three times. She went through 90 days without seeing blood. Then she saw blood. V'asa Rebbe Kribeliezer. Rebbe said, listen, if she had 90 days of no blood, and now she has blood, all right, it's daya shata, and there's no tumma retroactively. Okay. Acha Shaniska, then Rebbe realized, one second, I issued the wrong psak. It's only Rebbe Lezer who says that if she had 90 days of no blood and then she has blood, that now it's daya shata. But the Chachamim would say that even a woman who had 90 days of no blood, now that she has blood, there is an impurity for the last 24 hours. I should have passed him the other way. Amar, then he said, listen, even though I should have passed him the other way, Kedai Rebbe Lezer l'smuchalav b'shas hatzchak. It's enough, Rebbe Lezer is good enough that we can rely on him now that it's just not the best situation. Apparently, that time was a time, Rashi says it was a Bishnei Batsores Hayu, it was a year of famine. There wasn't a lot of food around. So to now say that the halach is that the food that she touched in the last 24 hours is no good, it would have been a problem. So, all right, but the Evid will rely on Rebbe Lezer. Vavinabas. So now we ask about this Braisa. My lachash nisko. What does it mean after he remembered that the psak wasn't like Rebbe Lezer? If it's going to be like we said, that he remembered, he shouldn't have passed like Rebbe Lezer, that Daya Shaita, that she's only impure going forward. He should have passed like the Rabbanan, that she's impure for the last 24 hours. So I understand, if Halach is like the Rabbanan, who cares that it's not a good time and that there's a famine? How could you go against the Halacha? The Halacha is not like Rebbe Lezer. Ella must be. He didn't remember that Halach is like the Rabbanan. Ella deloit merichus alokamar v'lokamar. Halach hasn't been determined whether Rebbe Lezer is right, that if there's a 90-day break of no blood, so then already we say she's as if she's a woman who doesn't have blood, and now that she has blood, it only started from now and on. And halacha also wasn't said, like the Rabbanan, that there is an impurity for the last 24 hours. Kevan sheniskar, but once he remembered, alav yachid paligale. Listen, I pass like Rabbi Lezer that it's only impure going forward. One second, Rabbi Lezer is against the majority. El Rabban paligale, there's a majority against Rabbi Lezer. Amar, he said, listen, I really shouldn't have passed like Rabbi Lezer. But since it halacha wasn't explicit, let the Rabbanan, k'day Rabbi Lezer, listen, mechalav b'shas hatzchak, Rabbi Lezer is good enough, we can rely on him at this situation because we don't have a choice. Now, if we're going to talk about, if you're going to tell me that we're dealing with l'truma, even about truma, I knew, now I understand what the issue was. V'avoy truma b'yimei Rebbe. Because here we have this, Rebbe had given a psak, and he was concerned maybe he had given the wrong psak. Okay, it's a bad time. We'll live with this psak. Now, if we're dealing with truma, you can understand. Rebbe had truma in his day. But if you're going to tell me that this impurity of the last 24 hours only applies to karbanos, Rebbe lived way after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Mishnayos, which Rebbe edited, were produced in the year 200. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70. Rebbe's living 130 years after the Beis HaMikdash. So why would he issue a psak about laws of karbanos? He had no karbanos. So yeah, Bishlam, if you're going to tell me this, I can understand that l'truma, that this impurity of the last 24 hours applies to truma. So then, davoy truma b'mei Rebbe. There was truma in the days of Rebbe. Eliyamik l'kodesh. But if you say that the law of impurity of the last 24 hours only applies to karbanos, but not to truma. Kodesh b'mei Rebbe mihavoy. Was there any karbanos in the days of Rebbe? So Gemara says there was. There was chulin that they treated as if it was karbanos. There were people who were preparing for the Beis HaMikdash. They would only eat their chulin with the levels of purity as if those were karbanos, as if those were sacrifices. The Amar Ulula said, Chavraya matkan b'galila, our friends in the Galil watch their wine and oil with a state of purity as if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt soon. They're getting ready for the Beis HaMikdash and they're saying, listen, our wine and oil we might use for menachos. And they treat it with total purity. Hachanami, the same way that was going on in the days of Ula, so certainly going on earlier in the days of Rebbe, Bimei Rebbe.
Rabbi, this supports the opinion I think we learned in the Chor with the Rosh that they had Efer Parah Aduma, because otherwise this is all useless.
Right.
If it's Mehmet, it doesn't matter what you eat, when you eat, it's Mehmet, period.
Very good point. Yeah, excellent. So when did we lose the Efer Parah Aduma then?
The Rosh says somewhere around that time. They had leftovers.
In the days of Ula also.
When we learned Luchot Chala, it's at the Rosh Luchot Chala at the end, yes.
Wow.
So he speaks about it. He says that he must have had Efer Parah Aduma. Because right. Otherwise you can't explain how can you use
that's amazing.
Tahara 100 right. Years after Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, but Ula is even later. Right? Yeah. Ula said, Chavraya, my friends.
At some point in time, they
are. Ula is like the third or fourth generation of the Amoraim.
Because you're born already to be met more or less. After a while, you've been met by definition.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, again, we're dealing with this question of the last 24 hours. A woman who finds blood. She's tame retroactively for the last 24 hours. Rav Huna had a chiddush. This retroactive impurity only applies to karbanos, to kachim. It's a special stringency in kachim, but doesn't apply to truma. And we've been asking questions. We asked three different questions against it. Now we have a fourth question. Tashma, come and hear a proof. Ma said there was a story. Bishif Chaso Shel Rabban Gamliel. With the maid of Rabban Gamliel. I'm assuming that this was a shivcha, Amma Ivriya. I'm not sure though. All right, so there was a story with the shivcha of Rabban Gamliel. Shaisa ofa kikaro shel truma. She was baking loaves of truma. So it sounds like she had wheat. Rabban Gamliel was, I guess, a kohen. Well, he wasn't a kohen, right? He's a nasi. He's from Malchus Beis David. But okay, she. For whatever reason, maybe she's baking loaves of truma to give to Kohanim. They had wheat of truma. She's making dough out of it, making loaves out of it. Ubein kol achas ve'achas madicha yada b'mayim. So after each loaf, she would wash her hands in water to clean the hands from any dough. And once the hand was clean, she would then take a cloth and check herself inside to make sure that she's not a nidza.
And she was Jewish.
I would assume so. Ubodekes, that's what I assume. I assume she's a Jewish maid. And she's checking herself to make sure she's not a nidza. Although maybe a Shifcha Kananis also has the Tumah of nidza because she does have Jewish, she has a lot of mitzvos, a Shifcha Kananis. Okay, so she would check herself to make sure that she wasn't tummy. All right, so now, Ubachrona, after the last loaf, Badka, she checked herself. Umatza Tzmeya, and she finds in that check that there is blood, that she's tummy. Bas v'shalas Rabban Gamliel. So she went to Rabban Gamliel. She ran over. She said, Rabbi, my master, my boss, my owner, I just found blood inside. I'm tummy. But I've been baking loaves and loaves of chuma. Amar la. So he said, well, if you found the tuma now, kulan tmeos. Got to get put away all these loaves. They're all tummy because they've been baked in the last 24 hours. Now, once you're tummy, retroactively for the last 24 hours is a tuma. Now, it's like, these are loaves of Truma. Okay, that's why we're quoting it. Amrlo, she then said, but Rabbi, my teacher, Valo Badika is Sali, right? Al Kalachas Ben Kalachas Viachas. But I was checking myself between each loaf. It's only the last time that I found that I'm tummy. Amrlo said, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were checking yourself all these times. Imkain, if so, he tmei. This last loaf is tummy, but all the other loaves are tahar. Because when you check yourself now that you're tummy, you now become tummy to the last check, because checks can shorten the time span of the 24 hours. The kulan tzahoros, all the other loaves are tzahar. Katani me asked, but what's the reason why we're quoting this? Rav Huna said that the retroactive impurity only applies to karbanos. These are loaves of truma. Kikros shel truma. Katani me asked, it said, however, we're talking about loaves of truma. So you see that this retroactive impurity applies to loaves of truma, not just to loaves of karbanos. So Gemara says, you know what the truma here is? It's karbanos. Which carbon? There's a carbon called the carbon toda. Part of the carbon toda is to bring 40 loaves, and then you have to give out of those 40 loaves, four of them are given to the kohen. So those four loaves are truma. They are lifting up to the kohen. So those are the loaves that we're talking about. My truma, what does it mean, truma? It's trumas lachme toda. It's the truma of the four loaves taken out of the lachme toda. So says the Gemara, 1 second. Why is there a maid of Rabban Gamliel baking lachme toda? Trumas lachme toda ba'fia mai baya. What is she doing baking them? First you bake the 40 loaves. After you bake the 40 loaves, you bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash, four of them are given to the Kohen. What does it mean? She's baking them, the maid of Rabban Gamliel? So the Gemara says, yeah. Da'afrishinu bilishayhu. She had made them loaves to be given to the Kohen when they were still dough. So he had dough. This dough is going to be lachme toda. Out of the dough, he separated a chunk. This dough is going to be the trumas lachme toda. And then she baked them. Chihada amar Rav Tuvi by Rav Katina. This is like the law of Rav Tuvi, the son of Rav Katina. He said like this. Lachme toda, we know you're supposed to bring 40 loaves. So 40 loaves, if instead of bringing 40 loaves, afan arba chalos, you made it into just 4 loaves, and you baked it as 4 loaves, yatzef. These 4 loaves are the same size as what the 40 loaves would have been, then you're yotzei. Vavina, but we asked Rav Tuvi Barav Katina, how could that be? Vavinan arbaim, but we know the Torah says you need 40 loaves. No, it's only a mitzvah, it's only ideally to have 40. You could end up with 4. But you have to have 40 and then separate out of the 44 of them. If you're going to say, no, he has 4 and he just takes a piece out of each one. But Hashem said, echad mikol karban amar achmana. Echad, he has to give one of them. Shalo yitol prusa, you have to give echad, you can't take a piece. And so he answered, you know what the case is according to Rav Tuvi? That a man first had dough. And he made the dough into 40 little dough circles. And out of the 40 little dough circles, he takes 4 of them. He says, these 4 are going to the Kohen. Then he mixes all the 40 dough circles back together again. And he makes them into 4 loaves. Actually, he mixes 9 of the dough circles back together and makes them into 4 loaves. And he also has the four little loaves, and he bakes those four little loaves, and he gives the four little loaves to the Kohen. Hachanami, so that's the case also with Rabban Gamliel. After Shinubili Shai, when they were still a dough, she had separated the four loaves, four dough circles for the Kohen. And so she's baking, in fact, Truma, which is Trumas Lachme Toda, which is a carbon. Again, this is again another question on the idea of Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that the last 24 hours impurity only applies to carbanos, not to Truma. Now we're asking him, you know, this was four challenges. Now we have the fifth challenge. Tashma, come in here, another proof. Shuv Ma'isa B'Shifach Rabban Gamliel. There's another story with the wife, with the maid of Rabban Gamliel. Shai Sagapo Chavio Shul Yayin. She was closing, she was sealing with pitch barrels of wine. Ubin Kalachas V'Yachas, and between each barrel, Ma'adicha Yodeh B'Mayim. She would wash off her hands to clean them from the pitch. Ubodekes, and then with clean hands, she would check herself internally to make sure she was not a Nida. Ubachrona, the last time she checked herself, Batka, she checked. Umatza Tmeya, she found that she was, in fact, Tame. Uvasa Shalom, Rebbe Gamliel, she went to Rebbe Gamliel, she said, wait a second, what's the law with these barrels? I'm Tame. Amalei said, okay, retroactively you're Tame for the last 24 hours. So Kulan Tmeya, so all the barrels are no good, they're all Tame. Amalei, she said to him, Alo Badika Isali, Ben Kalachas V'Achas, but I checked myself many times, all those checks were good, so those checks should diminish the amount of time of retroactive Tumah. Amalei said, well, if you had many checks, and Kain Hilavada, he's man. Just the last one is Tame, for Kulan Torah, the rest are Tzor. We're talking about barrels of wine. Now the Gemara points out it's proof. If you're going to say one issue, maybe the wine was Kodesh, maybe the bread was Truma, right? If one of the issues was Truma, one of the issues was Kodesh, that's why she would ask Rabban Gamliel a second time. Eliam, you did Kodesh. But if you're going to say that the wine is Kodesh wine, like we said, that in the times of Rabban Gamliel is the times of the Beis HaMikdash already, but if you're going to say it's Kodesh wine and it was Kodesh bread, so why would she ask the same question twice? Lamalum had the Lushaila. When she had the Psak one time, why did she ask another time? So Gemara says, listen, she asked the second time because it was a different person. It was two different maids. They both did this. So one maid dealt with the wine, one maid dealt with the bread. This maid didn't know what the other maid had gotten as a psak, so that's why they had to ask the question. So this is the first version, the version of Rav Huna, that 24 hours retroactive impurity only applies to karbanos, it doesn't apply to truma, but lishnach min amila. Another version of Rav Huna was the other way. Rav Huna said, "Meis leisha benita, the last 24 hours of impurity that we impose on Anita, metama bein lekodesh bein letruma, it applies both to karbanos and to truma." Mimai, what's the proof? Because it's not listed in Maseches Chagiga. One of the differences between kodesh and truma. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, "Vatani tana." We learned in a brisa that it's only Lakodesh. This impurity of the last 24 hours only applies to Karbanos. For Lola Chuma, it doesn't apply to Chuma. So the Gemara says, Kibla Minei, Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak accepted this question of Rav Nachman, and he answered, when the Braisa says that it applies to Kodesh, not to Chuma, it's not really true. It means, Chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. If you have chulin that you're treating them with the stringency of kodesh, then the 24-hour retroactive impurity would impact them. But lo b'chulin shenasu al taras truma. But if you have chulin that you're treating them as if they are truma, you're treating them with the same level of purity you would apply to truma. So that's only a stringency. So then it would apply to the things that would ruin truma, but not to this which only ruins truma midrabanan, and it wouldn't apply to the retroactive impurity. Chulin with the.